You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am recording from my closet. I am so desperate to get at least decent acoustics for you guys that I am currently sitting in the walk-in closet of our downstairs bedroom. So, Harrison, can you please tell me there's like at least a slight difference?
There's a difference, and to make up for that bump in audio quality, because we want you guys to still get the same. We don't want you guys thinking that we went big time and thinking that, you know, this isn't the same low-rent, you know, garage, back of the garage podcast that you've grown to love. So while Anthony has improved his acoustics, my end is featuring DJ Leaf Blower outside, or I guess hedge trimmer. The guy out, there's a man outside trimming our hedges at my apartment complex. We think he is actually gone this time, but you know, that's not going to save the last recording that we started. So we'll, you know, if he shows up in the background, it's to make up for Anthony's audio being better today.
Yeah. We don't want to give you guys too much too soon.
We don't want to spoil you, because it's like, if all of a sudden you just turned on this podcast and you're like, whoa, this sounds like professional. You'd be like, damn, Locked On Lakers, you've changed.
I'm sure that would be the response. So today's show, it is once again an off day for our Los Angeles Lakers. Harrison and I are going to play a game called Hashtag Future Laker. It's everybody's favorite game on Twitter. We're going to be giving you guys an opportunity to put together your jersey swaps, because that is another thing that the Laker fan base is known for. And I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yes, Grant, this is a bat signal for you. Get ready with the Photoshops.
Yeah, yeah. You just got a message from your internet dad, Grant, so you better get on it. So what we're going to do, Harrison and I have both worked together to put a list of superstars that we think the Lakers have a legitimate shot at. Well, ranging anywhere from legitimate to Magic Johnson's happy dreams, right? So that's what we're going to focus on today. And we're going to make the cases for all of these guys, the cases why they might not be options for the Lakers, all of that good stuff. And that's going to take up the entirety of the show. Harrison,
I feel like all of Magic Johnson's dreams are probably happy.
Oh, yeah, no, he's...
You said his happy dreams. Like, I don't know that Magic Johnson has other types of dreams.
Yeah, that's.
He seems like a top five, like, happiest person on the planet, honestly.
Him and Palenka's meetings together, is it just sunshine and rainbows? Like, they don't even have to speak. It's just butterflies float in.
They just come out, and, like, everybody's looking at them like, why are these guys always walking out of every room they're in laughing and smiling and high-fiving?
It's a mind game. Like, imagine you're another NBA team. Like, the Lakers have their free agent pitch meeting with LeBron, and say the Cavs are waiting right behind Magic and Palenka and the Lakers, and they all walk out smiling and laughing and high-fiving each other, and Dan Gilbert just starts weeping. It's mind games.
I'm telling you, Dan Gilbert doesn't have Magic Johnson swag.
No, he does not. Yes. That's what we're going to be doing. Harrison has three names. I have three names.
And we're not just doing 20. Like, we aren't. It's 2018 free agency. That's old. Yeah, we're going to do all free agency. Eternity free agency.
We recalibrated
any player currently in the league or even in college basketball, theoretically, although I don't think either of us picked college basketball players, because why would anybody watch college basketball? You know, like any player that we think is most like top three guys most likely to join the Lakers at some point. So you can't tell us we're wrong until these guys die.
There you go. So without further ado, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at HMFagan. He just fired off a solid. That was one of your better tweets, the one where you quote tweeted Bobby Marks with what the bad thing the Mavs actually did.
I know, yes, the league has taken a very strong... I mean, obviously the league can't do anything yet. They have to investigate, like, you know, the full extent of the situation with the Mavericks. But it's like to say that they're taking a strong stance on the integrity of the league by for finding a guy about tanking, talking about tanking on a day that it came out that his organization was involved in a harassment, like, claims is kind of asinine to me.
Very asinine. It's probably not a good idea, Bobby Marks, to hand your account over to Darren Revelle. Like, just in general, keep your phone out of his hands. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. Let's go ahead and get into this, Harrison. The first name on your list, just say the name, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about that person.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi! Are you there?
No, I'm back. I mean, I'm disappointed in you, to be honest.
All right, fine. Take your disappointment out on me with why you think Kawhi Leonard is at the top of your list. Like, not only is he on your list, but he's at the top of your list.
Yeah, people aren't talking about this because he's with the Spurs, and nobody ever talks about Spurs free agents leaving because they never leave, mm-hmm. and because they've had such a stable organization. But I think, like, low-key, he's a guy that people should be keeping an eye on because, number one, there are reports that he's unhappy with the Spurs, which is notable to me for a lot of reasons. Number one, because I didn't realize Kawhi Leonard was really capable of being unhappy. Mm-hmm. And then number two, I did not really realize that he was capable of voicing that unhappiness, even if he was. Like, this is not a man. He is not an emotive man.
No.
And so there's, like, all of that. The fact that that got out just with his personality type is interesting to me. That perks the ears up a little bit. And then the fact that there were any leaks from anywhere around the Spurs who never have leaks about anything was also kind of notable to me.
There.
And so, like, that means that the situation is bad enough that it got out there enough that people were going to report on it. And, like, especially with, like, how closed off that San Antonio media, like, that San Antonio is to the media, that perked my ears up. And then I think, like, just those two factors kind of together make me think that this is like that's like red alert, like raising alarms for me. And, you know, I guess Kawhi Leonard is really, really good. You can say the fact that the Spurs have handled his injury so weirdly, and it sounds like there's been some, like, some, you know, disagreements over that. That's the type of thing that makes a guy hate an organization. And then, like, that makes me think that this is a real thing. This is not, you know, oh, it's his hometown, or, oh, like, you know, it's the weather is nice there and they have free agents. Like, Lakers aside, I think Kawhi Leonard leaving is, like, a better possibility than people think. And then you also have to factor in the context that this has been a stable organization because of Greg Popovich and the culture and tone that he set. I don't know how much longer Popovich is going to be around. He does not seem like a guy that's very interested in coaching basketball anymore. Like, he's still an amazing coach and all that. I'm not saying he's fallen off, but you hear the stuff that he wants to talk about in the media, and it's nothing to do with basketball. You just get the sense that he's kind of moved beyond that, and he might be ready to kind of just be done at some point within the next couple of years now. He's an older guy, and I think that when you factor all of that stuff in, I think Kawhi Leonard is very much a guy that the Lakers could target and could end up signing, and he could be the first domino to fall. And we know that he likes Southern California. He went to San Diego, and I just think there's, like, a lot of things here that make me think that there's a better chance of him coming than people are really giving it right now, just because it's the Spurs.
He's from kind of sort of the area that Lonzo Ball is from, I believe.
Okay, yeah, I didn't want to say, I, you know, in my, me being a paragon of research, did not look up where Kawhi Leonard was from, but I knew he went to UCSD, so, or San Diego State.
Right, yeah, and but I'm pretty sure he's from that same kind of, I don't know, it's like Corona Centennial, where all of those kinds of...
Well, Lonzo Ball's from Chino Hills. according to Google, it's, his hometown is Los Angeles, but I feel like if you Google any NBA player, it just says hometown Los Angeles.
especially nowadays. Los Angeles keeps just churning out great NBA players. But
yep.
I agree with every single point that you made there. I feel like a superstar leaving San Antonio would be the kind of thing that happens and it completely takes everybody by surprise. And then after kind of looking back at the situation, everybody kind of retroactively goes back and says, oh, yeah, maybe we should have seen this coming a little bit more, right? And so I think – and the other thing too with Kawhi is that he fits the Lakers perfectly. Their core, everything that they want to build, adding another wing like that. And I think that's that. There's a reason there's going to be a trend that you guys are going to see across most of the names that Harrison and I bring up. They are wings. And in the
NBA, everyone in the NBA is a wing now.
Yeah, that's true. But the wing is, you know, we are in the golden age of wings. We are, I mean, Wingstop is jealous of the wings that the NBA gets to boast.
Not your best.
It was not. I'm honestly I'm starting to get a little claustrophobic in this closet. So we're going to go ahead and move on to my first.
Oh my God. Show's going great, everyone.
The walls are closing in around me. We are going to move on.
Like
to...
By the third name, I'm going to be like, Anthony, who do you think is most likely to join the Lakers in free agency? Oh, who's free anyway? I think we're all prisoners. We're all prisoners in this reality. The walls are closing in, man. I haven't seen light in 7 days.
It's just funny that this show has reached levels of success that you and I never would have thought, and it put me in a closet like that. That's
hey man, whatever helps us climb the next step on the ladder.
All right, I'm gonna give my name. We're gonna take a quick break, and I'll present my side of the argument, just like Harrison did with his first name, Paul George. Shocker, I know, right?
Yeah. Whoa. What? Sorry. I had to pause and collect myself for a second. I literally fell on the floor, which is something I have room to do because I'm not recording inside of a closet.
Yeah, I could try to fall right now and I would not be able to. Literally, yeah. Not able to fall. Too big to fall. We know everything about Paul George at this point, right? The reasons why it might happen.
Well, okay, about his free agents. I was like, everything about him. No, I don't know. I mean, he's a guy, like, they talk about he likes to fish. I'd like to know, like, personally, like, what type of fish he likes to catch. Mm-hmm. You know, what are his favorite lakes?
Mm-hmm.
Just, is he an outdoorsy guy in general, or is it just the fishing thing? Like, you know, there's lots I'd like to know about Paul George.
I wonder if the fishing thing is, like, a low-key hint that he wants to be a lake, because you fish in a lake.
He wants to play for the Lakers. Wow, there's a lot of subtext there. Or, you know, it just could be his and Brian Shaw's way of communicating without, like, burner phones.
Yeah. Whatever works. I'm fine with it. Do your thing, B-Shaw. But, just like we talked about with Kawhi, he fits positionally absolutely perfectly. He's younger than LeBron. He's about, I believe, the same age as Kawhi as well. It's just the problem with LeBron that a lot of people are bringing up is that the Lakers don't necessarily fit his window. And because they don't necessarily fit his window, there's some concern that they trade other guys, younger guys, to find guys who do fit his window. And I don't know if that's necessarily the smartest way forward. Now, it's hard to argue with signing LeBron or signing any of these superstars. If any of these guys show up and they say, I want some more immediate help, and that costs the Lakers, say, like Josh Hart, then you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say that's the cost to do in business. But with Paul George, I feel like he would come with fewer strings attached. Look, OKC improved their play, and he made it a point in an interview to say that that isn't necessarily going to help him make his decision.
It's all about the family, like Brian Shaw.
Yeah, that to me was about as red and as big a red flag as you can possibly put up. That he's saying, yeah, I know we played better, but at the end of the day, it does come down to what's best for my family. That was tremendous. And I'm sure Magic and Pelinka walked out of whichever room they were in and just started high-fiving each other.
They just started winking at everyone and like...
Yeah. Is there any... We've talked about this a little bit with LeBron, but is there any reason, is there any concern not to sign Paul George in the way that there might be with LeBron?
No. I mean, honestly, I guess unless you're so committed to letting this young core grow in a pressure-free environment, but I don't know that – I think we've learned over the last couple of years that's not necessarily the best thing. And that if these guys can – like if he can help push them towards competitiveness with a coach like Luke Walton that's going to prioritize development to some degree in a way the last coach did not, I think that that's a good thing. And so I guess like the only only reason to not sign Paul George is if like – you know, say you're you're signing him over a better player, which isn't really on the market this summer.
No, he's
like, it's only if you think the Lakers, like if you think the Lakers are guaranteed to sign Kawhi Leonard the next summer, then yeah, like maybe you hold off on Paul George. But the Lakers, I'm sure, would have no way of knowing whether or not Kawhi Leonard wants to join them, because it's not like they've been caught tampering twice.
Now that I think about it, Paul George might be one of my favorite players to watch in a little while.
Yeah, I mean, you made good basketball points on why to add him, but also I just want to add, like, his shoes, incredibly comfortable.
Yeah, I got to go out and get a pair of shoes.
Arguably my favorite shoes that I have.
Yeah.
I have the Team USA colorway of the PG1s, and they are, like, I like those shoes now, what some companies are doing, where it's kind of, like, the tongue is a part of the shoe, like, it doesn't separate as much, and so they offer, like, a lot more ankle support. It's all, like, one continuous, like, it's almost like a compression sleeve, and it's nice.
You know where that originated from?
No.
Soccer cleats.
Oh, okay. That's, well, I like it, so.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, because it was... Initially, Kobe was the first player to really look at redesigning shoes to make them low top, and the benefits of having low top shoes. And one of the things that he had to do was make the tongue part of the foundation of the shoe. And in order to do that, and in order to come up with that idea, he got the idea from soccer, which obviously everybody knows a ton about his background in soccer, his love of the game of soccer, and yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I've tried a pair of Kobe's that had that, but the Paul George's are really nice. James Harden's volume two I acquired, and those are like similar principle, but like a little tighter and like made of kind of more like neoprene or rubber, and I like those as well. We're getting a little off track here.
Acquired. But, I like how you say did you give up like a future first, future second?
You know, who's to say?
All right. Your next name on your list is?
It's Klay Thompson.
I like it.
Okay, so I think, like, no matter how much people just take Michael Thompson's word for it, that he's happy with the Warriors, and he says in interviews he's happy with the Warriors, he wants to make it work, all of that stuff. Eventually, it doesn't necessarily matter as much how happy he is with the Warriors. Because eventually math is coming for the Warriors, and luxury tax, like the Grim Reaper of the luxury tax, is coming for the Warriors. And are they going to keep the heart and soul of their team, Draymond Green, or are they going to keep Klay Thompson? And it may come down to a choice if the owners go cheap, which, as we've seen throughout NBA history, most owners are wont to do. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I think he may end up being available because they may not. They may try to get him to take less. And I think he's the one that even said for SoCal guys that there's a certain allure of playing at home. And right now he's saying, yeah, I want to be a part of the Warriors. They're this historically great team, all of that stuff. But I think on some level, you know, there has to be a part of him that if the Lakers surprise some people again next year and, you know, say they sign Paul George this summer, so they're looking significantly more competitive, and he says, you know, I'm not going to a losing team to be the man. I'm going to a team that I can help put over the top. And, you know, it's worth debating whether or not he could actually do that. But I think that they can end up making a somewhat compelling case. It's another one of these guys where the roster fit is perfect. The Lakers are going to need a shooter at the two guard and a defender. And Klay Thompson is kind of the ultimate 3-and-D like player. Yeah. As a shooting guard. Mm-hmm. And he could do more than that. He can run a pick and roll. Like, he's a very talented player. And I think he is a guy, and like, again, it goes back to the SoCal roots. His dad is a broadcaster for the team, so maybe that's one of those things, like, you know, that you don't want to go and see your family every single game. You want your space, but maybe that's something that appeals to him. I don't know. I think that, especially the fact that the Lakers are moving towards, like, they're leaking that they're kind of targeting 2019 a little bit more, maybe makes me think that they have some intel that he might end up being available, or they have an inkling. And I think, you know, like Klay Thompson, I think there's a decent shot that he is, like, the second most likely of these, like, star guys that we're looking at to end up joining the Lakers at some point.
The other thing, too, regarding windows and stuff, and it's a concern that fans, I mean, you and I talked about it last night, right, with title contenders and how the math has shifted and the analysis has kind of been blown up because of how good the Warriors are. If you get Klay Thompson away from the Warriors, he is low-key one of the most important, I mean, obviously, it's like Steph, because people think he's the fourth most important Warrior, that somehow he is a lesser player, but really, the Warriors are able to do a lot of the things that they can do, both offensively and defensively, because they have arguably the best two-way shooting guard on their team, just pure shooting guard, maybe in the league on their team, right? And if you take that away from the Warriors and they aren't able to replace him, or if they replace him with, say, 75 or 70% of what Klay Thompson brings to the table, that legitimately weakens that team. And for,
yeah, so that knocks them towards the edge of the cliff a little bit. And then you add Klay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Lakers team is enough to beat the Warriors necessarily, but they're going to be a playoff contender. If they had, you know, like, say, Klay Thompson and Paul George, or Klay Thompson and Kawhi Leonard, and then now you're projecting natural growth from the young guys, and Thomas Bryant has reached MVP candidacy, is the best, you know, like, 3-and-D big in the league, and, you know, like, there's a path forward. That last one wasn't serious, to be clear.
Well, I think the name that pops up, if you are weakening the Warriors, and it's with the intent to compete and beat the Warriors eventually, that's where the LeBron timeline starts to make a little bit more sense.
Yep.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. My next name is, I think at this point, a little underrated, Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I wrote about him. He gave comments to Rachel Nichols that he started to wonder whether or not he'll regret not asking for a trade, which is kind of a telltale sign that a guy may be on his way out the door.
This Boogie Cousins thing is going to be really interesting to watch for a variety of reasons, but one of the reasons that I'm really keeping an eye on it is, let's say the Warriors sign Boogie. I don't know if they're necessarily doing so with completely pure intentions. They can then go back to Davis, and if it doesn't work out with Boogie, if he doesn't...
You mean the Pelicans?
Yeah, what'd I say?
Oh, you said Warriors.
Yeah. I that's all I can keep thinking about is the Warriors, but... The Pelicans can go back to AD and they can go to their fan base and they can say, look, we have these two guys. Put your butts in seats and please come out and watch this team. And if it doesn't work out, oh, darn it, it just didn't work out. But look, we really tried, right?
He said in the same interview, that's not good enough. He said that he doesn't want to just be a playoff contender. Like, he wants to get to the next level. Like, he's the type of guy that at some point, hey, you tried your best, but it wasn't good enough. I don't care. I'm leaving. Trade me and get something, or don't, and I will leave.
And that's where the trade scenario here becomes really interesting. Let's say the Lakers are able to sign LeBron and sign Paul George this year, and both those guys go to the Lakers and they say, hey, we want immediate help. Get us immediate help. And then the Lakers put together an offer of, like, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Lou Alding for Anthony Davis. I don't know very many teams that are going to be able to beat that trade offer. It might be too much. What's funny is that if I was to put that trade together and tweet it out, I would have fans from both fan bases. People from both fan bases would be screaming at me about how terrible and stupid a trade offer that is, which tells me it's pretty fair.
Right? Well, I was going to say, which, as you always say, is the sign that it's a good trade, not that you did a stupid thing on the internet and made people angry.
Yep. So, I would never. But the Anthony Davis, like, the reason I was saying that he's kind of underrated is because everybody kind of thinks of him as injury prone. Why hasn't he done more winning in his career? All of these questions about a player who, in my opinion, is still arguably, we always talk about unicorns across the NBA, the bigs who can shoot and defend and do all these things. To me, Anthony Davis is still the best of those quote-unquote unicorn bigs.
It's not his fault that New Orleans is like a cesspit that has been unable to recruit free agents and continues to make dumb moves other than like the DeMarcus Cousins thing, which was a worthwhile gamble.
New Orleans ownership owns the Saints too. And for a while there, they were trying to, when people talk about Anthony Davis's injury concerns, they had the Saints training staff working with basketball players. How much sense does that make?
No, that makes no sense. And then the family is also in the middle of like a big lawsuit for control of like the father's fortune, because I believe there's a daughter like suing and saying that he's senile and that like his wife is taking advantage of him and all that stuff. Like, it's just, you know, it's a ridiculous situation that is getting no attention because nobody cares about the Pelicans. But I definitely have him pegged as a guy that's likely to leave at some point. And so I agree with him being on your list.
Yeah. So, and again, we've talked about, I mean, everybody else on this list is pretty much wings, but Davis fits the Lakers really perfectly because he now enables everybody to play their natural position. Like if the Lakers sign, say, like Paul George, then there's, well, who plays the two? Can he play the two? He can, by the way. And then what happens with Kuzma and Ingram? Can those three play together? I think they can, but you never know. And then same kind of thing with Klay Thompson, though I think the fit's a little bit better because he is a natural two, and you can play him at the two, and then maybe obviously Ingram at the three, Kuzma at the four, and then you need a rim-protecting big. Hey, look at that, rim-protecting big, Anthony Davis, where it just works out perfectly, right? And so so that's where a rim-protecting big who can also step out and shoot threes, we just watched the Lakers get annihilated by Davis, right?
He's so good.
He's ridiculously good. And, you know, I think Laker fans are a little spoiled in many respects, but the lack of respect that is shown towards Davis is kind of mind-boggling to me in terms of Lakers exceptionalism, or just maybe it's exceptionalism around the league. I know Boston fans were saying that they wouldn't give up Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis, and that's just
and then what happened to Jason Tatum?
Oh yeah, that's right, he isn't the greatest shooter in the history
of the NBA. It turns out he is not a 50% three-point shooter.
Gosh, it's crazy to me that wasn't sustainable. All right, who's your next name?
My next name, actually, weirdly, Jason Tatum. No, it is, as you guys can probably guess, it is LeBron James. And I like, you knew he was going to end up on this list somewhere. I have him third because I don't think that it's as much of a shoe-in that he joins or that he seriously considers the Lakers, as some people are saying. But hey, like, what do I know? The Lakers there was a survey of NBA players today, and they were asked on what LeBron might do this summer. And the Lakers came in second as far as what he should do, what they said he should do. And then where they believe he actually will sign, they were also second with 22% of the vote. And so that means that, you know, whether it's the media gaslighting the players into it by talking about it so much, making them think it, or it's some inside info that they have, or, you know, just scuttlebutt or their own informed opinions, there is a real belief in the league that he's going to look at L.A. And I think he has like two houses out here now, and they came up with like that explanation for him being and checking out L.A. schools. It's like, oh, I was just like shooting a commercial nearby, and then we just like drove in to play basketball at the gym, like, you know, as one does. And I just, like, there's been so much noise about it, and how much of that is the noise feeding more noise? Like, everybody's like, oh, LeBron to LA gets clicks, let me try and get somebody else to tell me off the record that they think he'll go to LA, and then I'll report about it, and then we'll get clicks. And like, I don't know how much of it is that and how much of it is real. We're going to find out this summer, but there's just been so much noise about it that he can't not be on our list. And I think that there's a better chance than some who are just dismissing it outright are giving it. I would say, I actually don't think that a 22% chance is like totally far off.
Yeah, I've always said that it was at best a 50-50 proclamation.
I think 50 is a little high.
Yeah. At best, you know, I'd probably put myself closer to the 30% range in terms of actually trying to gauge the percentage of what I think would how that would actually play out. But as much as I and others have talked about the concerns of signing a LeBron James, organizational control, wear and tear, age, fit, whatever. If LeBron says, hey, I want to come to the Lakers would be remiss, especially given what the expectations were when they took over, right? When they took over, it was, we're going to make the Russell trade. We now have already made the Clarkson trade and the Nance trade, and that was all to open up money. And the name at the top of everybody's list when Magic and Pelinka were hired was LeBron James. If LeBron goes to the Lakers and says, yeah, I'm coming, the Lakers, after doing all those things, telling him, actually, no, we already told everybody that we recalibrated our expectations for 2019. That's
not
really
enough. Said after the trade deadline, hey, we could sign a guy this summer and sign a guy next summer. They aren't actually walking away from 2018 where they're like, no, you know, LeBron, you want to come? Too bad.
And that
aren't going to be loosey with the football and just like Charlie Brown him.
And that gets back to that Klay Thompson stuff that we were talking about earlier, right? Because now if you have LeBron and then you take Klay Thompson away from the Warriors, and then the Lakers, if they're able to pull off the trade that I talked about with the Pelicans for Anthony Davis, that becomes a title contender. That becomes a legitimate title. I won't necessarily say favorite, because those guys would have to learn to play together and all those things, but that now becomes a legit, they would immediately be on the Warriors and the Rockets radar for best team in the West and arguably in the league.
Yeah, I think that's spot on.
All right, so my last name on the list.
Wait. I'm going to try and guess it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and guess it. Mm-hmm. Is it Andrew Wiggins?
No, it is not. That contract might wind up being kind of a disaster. Sorry, Minnesota. But the name on my list that I'm going to wrap up here with is D'Angelo Russell. Are you there?
I'm not even amused at this point, because we're just going to get so many tweets of people like, he said D'Angelo Russell again. Start finding him.
Oh, man. Speaking of fines, the actual name on the end of my list here is Giannis.
Oh, I thought you were actually just going to fine yourself. I was like, wow, okay, way to go all out for the bit.
I just repeat the former coach's Latin name.
Wait, what was it again?
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
But yeah, Giannis is the guy who I will wrap up my list with. This is purely speculative. Obviously, I don't think Magic was fined with the intent of putting himself on Giannis's radar, or anybody's radar, really.
No, I'm telling you, man, light year. That's exactly what I was going to say. Magic's light years ahead. He knows that if the NBA fines him for those comments, then Giannis is actually going to get read the comments at some point. And he's going to be like, oh, wow, Magic didn't deserve to get fined. He was just being nice to me. Magic's my friend.
Yeah.
Like, wow, and they're going to fine him for this? I'm going to reach out to Magic. Me and Magic are friends now.
Wow.
And
like, Magic was willing to take on a $50,000 fine just to say how good he thinks I am at basketball? What a guy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's like, wow, like, that's kind of messed up. The league did that to my buddy Magic, and Magic's ingratiating himself. I'm saying it's next level.
Should we have done this and called it the future Lakers or future Magic's good friends?
Yeah, they're all going to be his good friends.
Yeah. But Giannis, all right, so a lot of the stuff that we were talking about earlier with Anthony Davis, I think, kind of applies – obviously a little further back in the process, but I think it can apply to Giannis as well, in that I just don't trust the Bucks organization. They have never been good. They won one title back there when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was there and Oscar Robertson was there. And then they made maybe...
And then everything else since then has just been like, what the buck?
They made maybe the worst trade in the history of basketball in trading Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the Los Angeles Lakers. I think they took back like six players, and none of those guys that they got back were ever anything even decent.
I thought you were going to say dealing a lottery pick for Michael Carter Williams.
Oof, yeah, also not great.
Oops.
But I think the Bucks, they have, when you have a player of Giannis's caliber, there's inherent pressure to live up to that. And the other thing,
like,
too,
not to waste his time.
Right, not to waste his time. The other thing too that's going to start forcing a lot of these franchises' hand is that Supermax contract. How able are these teams going to be able to put talent around these guys when they are making, what is it, 30, 35% of the cap or something crazy?
Right? Yeah.
And so so that's, you know, I like it. I like the idea of it. I would much rather get rid of the max altogether and make it more of a free market. But it's what I like is that it's going to start benefiting the larger markets. It was done in order to keep guys in their cities and keep them out of the larger markets. But which organizations are going to be best suited to pay a crazy salary and still take on a luxury tax and still turn a profit? It's going to be the large markets. And if you're Milwaukee, and as we saw with Sacramento earlier, Sacramento kind of balked at the idea of paying Boogie Cousins all that money and instead sent him to New Orleans. And I think we might start seeing that with a lot of guys who maybe Giannis doesn't necessarily qualify, because in my opinion, he's heading towards being like a top five NBA player, and you just pay those guys no matter what it costs. But I could see Giannis looking around at the pieces that have been put around him. And that Milwaukee team is kind of a disappointment this year, right? They fired their coach. You don't usually fire a coach in a season that is going well. that's usually not indicative of a season that is living up to expectations. And according to Jason Kidd through Ramona Shelburne, Giannis didn't take it very well. And that's just something that you just say, if you're looking at, you know, building teams hypothetically the way Harrison and I are, that's something that you store on the back of your mind as something that might mean something a little bit down the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the type of thing that you keep in the back of your mind. It's like all of this stuff is stuff that you have to take note of and keep in your notebook of like your hashtag future Lakers. There's the Magic tampering thing. There's Giannis being unhappy with Milwaukee. All this stuff ends up playing into these guys' decisions. And then sometimes it can come down to who can give the most money. But I think at some point Giannis could be a guy that's available. And, you know, we'll see if the Lakers have cap space at that point. But I could definitely see him as a more likely hashtag future Laker than maybe people are thinking.
Yeah. And look, with all of these guys, the stars would have to align. Right. And one theme that we're starting, that it seems the Lakers are cognitive and teams around the league are aware of, is that these guys are not going to sign on if it looks like for the immediate future they are the only guy. Those are the situations that these guys are leaving to get away from. And even in Anthony Davis's case, even having DeMarcus Cousins on his team, he's still expressing some remorse at maybe not asking for a trade. That's not a great sign.
Yeah,
right?
And like he just got that giant that was Anthony Davis. But you never know, like, if Giannis is going to be the type of guy that may end up regretting the same thing.
Right. So
Milwaukee, again, not historically a market that has shown an ability to build a winner. And there was that whole weirdness with their front office hiring process this last summer.
Yeah, it's not.
It's like a poorly run team, low key. Like, Giannis is saving them from more criticism.
Low key?
Well, people just don't talk about it because it's Milwaukee and no one cares about them.
Right. But imagine being such a crappy organization that you have maybe the most exciting player to watch and nobody talks about you still.
People talk about them. They just don't talk about the dysfunction.
Right, but I'm saying,
all they talk about is Giannis.
I think they have the end of this season. If they don't go on some kind of lengthy playoff run and they kind of trip over themselves next season, we aren't very far away from people legitimately actually giving the Bucks the attention that they kind of warrant for not being good at competing.
It's like I said, people are going to start to ask, what the Buck?
They were hoping to buck the historic trend, but they haven't been able to yet.
Yeah, they've bucked up.
Oh, dear. All right. So,
oh, God.
Let's go ahead. We'll call it a day before people get really, really angry at us and before that guy shows up to once again trim.
I'm telling you, if this we have had to stop this podcast multiple times for this head trimmer. It Anthony said it in a part of this podcast that I'm going to cut because it was featured some colorful language from me. But like if I do not walk outside and there is not like a giraffe trimmed into my hedges in like a hilarious prank, then I'm going to be very upset. I may fight a gardener today in my apartment complex.
And to be clear, you would fight a gardener, not my in-laws. Their last name is Gardner, so please don't fight my in-laws.
I might fight them too. They're making you record from inside of a closet, so.
That's a fair point. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed the different format that we tried out. Hashtag future Lakers or hashtag future Magic Johnson's good friends. That doesn't quite roll off the tongue as well as the other one does.
Yeah, we'll stick with future Lakers. We'll workshop it, though.
If you have any names that you would like us to discuss that we didn't in this one, throw them into our iTunes reviews with a 5-star review. And we will get to those names. Thank you for those of you who did give names for yesterday's show. By the time everybody is listening to this, we will be on the day where we find out for sure whether Lonzo Ball can play in the game on Friday, right? And so we'll finally be getting back to talking basketball. My wife doesn't have to worry about talking to me for 3 straight evenings. I've made it through this not divorced. We had a couple close calls, so shouts to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, again, she has you hiding inside of a closet to record the podcast, so I would imagine things not going well in the Irwin household.
Still married, though. Still married. Yep. And she gave me a pillow. Like, it was nice of her to give me a pillow so that I can sleep in here.
You can, like, tweet out later, like, divorce that!
Exactly. All right. Have a good day. Have a good rest of your day, everybody, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.